I have a burden this evening that I desire your prayers. I really mean that. I don't feel capable in myself to deliver the word of the Lord, but my prayer is that the Lord will speak to us through His word and through His Spirit. Have a thought. We've been talking about the cause of God and how important it is, how necessary it is for us to know what it is, how to understand it, how to be effective in promoting it. And we've introduced several components. By the help of the Lord, I'd like to introduce one more this evening. I'm going to write a few words on the board. This was actually the first, when I started seeking the Lord about this, took some time before the meeting, and when I started praying and seeking the Lord, this phrase was impressed upon me. This was the very first inkling I had of what the Lord had for this meeting. I'd like to tell you a story. I've had a lot of workers that have worked for me, in not directly for me really, but a lot of people that I've helped to train, and my vocation is carpentry. I do trim cabinets, and I've had a lot of people that I have been there on the job with me that I have had the occasion to train, and there are two in particular that I'm thinking of tonight. Had one person years ago, and came on the job, and I would say, go do this. And then I would say, the best way to do this, I think, would be if you would do it this way. And it was like a knee-jerk reaction. You could just about count on every time. First thing that came out of his mouth, even almost before I got the words out of my mouth, was, I know. And I would say, make sure you do this before you do this. We don't want to have to pull this cabinet out and put it back in again. Make sure you've got that wire pulled through. I know. And he did know a lot of things. But there was a lot of things he didn't know too. And one day I said, I want you to understand something. I'm not trying to put myself on a level above you. I want you to be fast. I told him, I want you to be fast. I want you to be faster than me. I want you to be better than me. I want you to know the trade so well that you can do it in your sleep. And it was during the course of one of these episodes when I had said, I believe this is probably the best way to do this. This is my opinion. Sometimes he'd say, I know. Other times, he wasn't quite so polite. He'd say, don't tell me what to do. And just like that. And I think that if I would have said something to him about it, he would have said, well, I'm just joking. But there was something underneath that I could feel that he was serious about it. Don't tell me what to do. And maybe I wasn't the best at what we were doing either. But I noticed that I would usually finish something before he would. And so there was things that he needed to learn about it. That's what I concluded. And so I would say, do it this way. And one day I cornered him about a particular thing in the trade, and I said, I want you to get fast at this. I want you to be an absolute pro at it. And he said, it works for you, but it just doesn't work for me. I said, I want it to work for you. He said, it just doesn't. I'm not made that way. I can't put this in that way. I said, listen, I used to be, when I came here, I was the slowest one on the job. I want you to be good. Don't you want to be good? He said, not really. I said, well, what do you want then? He said, you're always in a hurry. You're always hurry, hurry, hurry. He said, I just want to take it easy. I want to get it done, and I want to do it my way. I said, okay. There came a time when there was a raise given, and there was a difference because I got one and he didn't. So there's that story. The other story that I'm going to tell you is about someone else that also I had the opportunity of having on the job with me. And when he came, I had to teach him how to cut on a miter saw because he didn't know how. And I should mention this, that the first person that I mentioned to you had many years of being around woodworking. Was around it all his life. The second person did not. The second person had not had any exposure to it. And I think that possibly he came to us just because he wanted to make a little extra money. And so when he came, he scared me to death whenever he cut on the table saw. Had to teach him how to cut on the miter saw. Did things that I thought, it surprised me that someone would even think that you could try to do it like that, because I didn't think that way, and I didn't know how anybody else could. But he came from a point of knowing absolutely nothing about it. You know what he did? He said, how do I do this? How do I do that? And in a very short period of time, person number two, had passed up person number one. And far exceeded him in capability, in skill, in understanding, and in speed. I'd like to take a look at a scripture in Proverbs, the second chapter. And if we could consider the Lord like the boss of a big job, in which he has an expectation of what needs to be done, when it needs to be done, and how it needs to be done. And the job that you and me have, because we have jobs, you know, he could have done all of his jobs without us. But he chose human vessels to do his jobs for him. Some of them, anyway. And that, some of that's a mystery. I have questions about that. But some of it, all has to do with the fact that it's God's grand plan that He chose. He wanted a people that would be His people and that He would be their God, that would love Him because He loved them of their own free will, and that would serve Him because of all the benevolence that He directed their way, because they loved Him more than anything else, and they would set their heart to understand exactly how He wanted them to do it. Proverbs, the second chapter, I think it's fitting to read something that was written by someone whose grand request of the Lord was, I need wisdom. He was the king of all Israel. And the very before he even asked for wisdom, what did he do? It says that he went up to Gibeon, which was the great high place, and he offered 1,000 burnt offerings. In my mind, he reached and grasped as far as he possibly could to get a hold of the Lord. Lord, I need you so bad. What? I'll do whatever it takes to get you to talk to me, to help me to know. I imagine this request and this thought was on his mind before he ever had the dream in which God came to him and said, "What do you want? Ask what I shall give you." That's what the Lord did. Solomon had reached as far as he could. And the Lord responded to that. And you know the Lord will respond to that in every one of us. There's not a one of us who, if we don't seek the Lord with all our hearts, that He will not be found of us. And so Solomon said, "I need wisdom." And so the Lord said, You didn't ask for wealth, you didn't ask for long life, you didn't ask for the lives of your enemies, and so I'm going to give you all that, but no other king has ever been as wise as you're going to be, and no other king after you will be as wise as you've been. And so, it's fitting that a person like that would write, I would say he'd be an authority on how important wisdom is, don't you? So let's read the second chapter of Proverbs. Bear with me here. We've got quite a bit of reading to do. I think it's very important. "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." There are, I think, 5 different things here that if you seek wisdom, there are 5 things that it will accomplish in our lives. That's the first. "Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of His saints." There's another thing there. "Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path." You know, there's a lot of paths that we can take today. How are we going to find the right ones? "When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee." Here's something else that it's going to do for us. "To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. Also to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. Another one, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth and the transgressor shall be rooted out of it." I can't think of a way to paint a more attractive word picture of wisdom and knowledge. Can you? It is something that makes me say, that's what I want. I want that in my life. You know, the Lord wants to give every one of us understanding. We can say, you know what, I'm not a spiritual guru. I don't know all that. I'm going to leave that to the pastor. I'm going to leave that to the teacher. And I'm just going to, you know what, I don't know why we need all this knowledge. I'm just going to believe in Jesus and I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to do all this stuff. The Lord wants us to understand some things. He wants us to understand some things. I had an experience one time with someone who I would say was devoid of wisdom. I've had several experiences like that, but there's one that stands out to me in my mind. Went somewhere with this person. And it was to a place that was a wholesome place to go to. There were other people there that were not, that did not have the same convictions I did. And we were there, and I've read about how careful it is to be, to avoid getting in traps of the devil. And I have tried to apply those things in my life. Sometimes the Lord has come along and corrected me and say, you need to correct this here. But I was amazed because some of the things that I consider to be basic, it was to a place. There are places that the Lord doesn't want us to go, all right? There are places that the Lord doesn't want us to go because just by going to them, there can be temptations that the Lord might not give us grace to overcome if we override what we know in our hearts that we shouldn't do. Scripture says, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. It's not good enough to say I can go wherever I want and I can do whatever I want because the Lord's grace is strong enough to keep me. The Lord expects us to stay away from those places that we know that we have a weakness, that we know that there might be a danger there. But this wasn't one of those places. This was a place that I felt like we could enjoy ourselves. And I was there with this person. And this was a person that was devoid of understanding. Because we had not been there very long when he started talking to some of the other people there and some of the things that he said and some of the things that he did made me open my eyes and realize, you know what? This person is in danger of getting in a major trap of the devil right now. Some of the safeguards that I had been taught and that I practiced, this person was not exercising any of those. The Lord wants to give, folks. He wants to give us wisdom to know. And it's a learning process. I'd like to go to 2 Peter 1, 3rd verse. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Add to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. You know, I've looked at these verses before and thought, if there was ever a roadmap of spiritual success in the Bible, this would be it, wouldn't it? It says, add to your faith virtue. Add to your virtue knowledge. Add to knowledge temperance. And it goes on, and these things build on top of each other. Knowledge is not for someone that has not turned their heart to the Lord. Some of these things that we've been introducing in this meeting build one on another. And knowledge builds after we turn our heart to seek the Lord. After we consecrate everything that we talked about last night, the Lord wants us to be able to seek Him for knowledge, to learn how to live, to learn how to cope in this life, to learn how to avoid temptations, to learn how to promote His cause effectively. I feel like that this message is actually going to have to be split into two parts. And some of the things I want to bring out, particularly in this chapter, are going to have to wait till tomorrow. But I'll do the best I can tonight. The Lord wants us to know some things. And we don't get it all at once. I don't believe that He means that you need to develop all the virtue that you're ever going to have in your life, and then you can begin on knowledge. It's not like that. The pathway of the just is as a shining light which groweth brighter and brighter to the perfect day. I believe that the Lord wants us, and I'll bring this out, Lord willing, tomorrow more, but the Bible compares us to something, an instrument that shines His light. And when we shine it, we shine forth just as a prism breaks light into all the different parts of the spectrum. He wants us to shine His qualities in the world. And that is one of the ways that we effectively promote His cause. He wants us to shine His love. He wants us to shine His wisdom. He wants us to shine His righteousness, His goodness, and all of those things, because it says that ye are the light of the world. Obviously, the light is not our own, but we are messengers or transmitters of that light, and when it passes through us, the world needs to see who God really is. I think about knowledge and how important it is, and you know, God keeps us from falling. It says in this verse, it says, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. And I don't think that this is talking about when you have all of these things perfected in their fullness in your life, then at that point you shall never fall. Folks, God's grace can keep us as we learn from the very beginning as a babe in Christ. If we will begin, set our hearts to start developing these things by His power, we will never fall. We talked about Joshua the other night and how it said that he wholly followed the Lord. And I believe that the Lord greatly blessed him. He was one of the only ones that got, he was one of two, I believe, that got to go into the Canaan land. I would say that would be a pretty big deal, wouldn't it? To be able to go into the land of Canaan, and everyone else didn't go because their hearts were so hard that they couldn't take in what God could do for them after all that they had seen. What about the 70 elders that went with in Exodus, where it says that the 70 elders Moses showed them, took them up close to the mountain, and he said, I want you to stand afar off and worship the Lord. It said that they saw the Lord. And they ate and drank, and then Moses went up into the mountain. He said, you can't come near it. But Joshua went with him. Joshua, his servant, went with him. Didn't go all the way to the top, but Joshua got to do some things that the others couldn't. And later, Joshua got to do some things that the others couldn't. Because he wholly followed the Lord. So let's... I remember, I'm not going to turn to it for the sake of time, but there was a time where Joshua, who it said wholly followed the Lord, he was the servant of Moses and he was zealous for God. Sometimes you and I can be zealous for God and still not have the knowledge that will produce the right results. There were two men there. Their names were Eldad and Medad. And they started prophesying. And Moses, Joshua comes in there and says, or somebody came and said, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. And Joshua, whose heart was turned toward the Lord, said to Moses, my Lord forbid them. And Moses said, I would that all Israel prophesied. Sometimes we don't understand it all. Think about Apollos. Maybe we'll read about Apollos a little bit. Let's go to Acts 18, 24th chapter. And a certain Jew, 18th chapter in the 24th verse, I'm sorry. certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much who had believed, which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Evidently, this man had a great work that the Lord wanted him to do. And we can see from Scriptures later on, Paul said, I've planted, Apollos has watered, but God gave the increase. The Lord wanted him to do some things, and the Lord employed him as a servant to do his work. But before he really could do anything effectively for the Lord, two other servants of the Lord were led to take him and to teach him the word of the Lord. And then after that, he was able to convince the Jews publicly by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. The Lord has all kinds of ways of teaching us knowledge. We'll get into that a little farther down. We have to be thinking about how we have to be willing to learn and how much we have to be willing to learn. You ever listen to a message and kind of the whole message, I've had this before, the whole message is overshadowed by an opinion or something you've heard about someone. I heard someone tell me one time, said, I quit listening for a while to anything a certain minister preached because someone else told me this about him. And so I just stopped listening to anything he had to say. We can hurt ourselves by preconceived notions or attitudes that we have about someone. Well, he hurt my feelings one time. Folks, they're people. They're humans. They have faults. Maybe we can hear something from someone who we think we're more spiritual than. You ever had that happen before? We need to watch how we feel, how we think in the first place. But have you ever had someone come and teach you something that you thought, well, he's a babe compared to me? That's shameful even saying. I was on the job one time. And we had a lot of crown molding to run. Hundreds and thousands of feet of it. I had a crew of guys on the job and we were running it, and I said to myself, we've got a good crew here. We know what we're doing. We're going to give our employer his money's worth. And I thought, you know, I've been doing this for a long time and I know the ins and outs of it. Know how to put up crown. Put up thousands of feet of it, miles of it. And then two people walked on the job one day. And they said, they were some bragging folks. They said, we're the fastest crown hangers in the world. Never heard anybody talk like that before. And I laughed inside and I said, I'm not going to say that, but we'll just work around them and let's see if they change their tune. I couldn't believe what happened. These people blew us out of the water. I did everything I could. At the end of the day, well, not even the end of the day, a group of us from our crew got together and we got to talking about it. You know what we said? We said, well, they've got these long runs, and because of that, they don't have any corners to go around. And we tried, and we And somebody said, "What do you think, Joe? What do you think about the way they're doing it?" And I started reasoning in my mind, and I said, "Well, you know what? The way that they're doing it, it depends, because I knew how they were doing it, and it was a different way than I had ever cut crown before, except a couple times. And the times that I did it, it didn't turn out fast like that. And so I rejected that idea, and I did it another way." I said, "Well, my experience has been that it just isn't as fast that way. And, you know," I said, "it has to do with how big the crown is, and it has to do with if it's MDF or if it's real wood." And I had it all reasoned, and we had a talk about it, and we decided that we were really faster anyway. But we weren't. And so I went to the trailer that night, and we were staying in a trailer down there in South Carolina. And I went to the trailer that night, and I didn't feel right. Something wasn't right. And I started thinking, and the Lord started talking to me. "Why don't you just be honest?" I started thinking, they can't know more than us about it. We've been doing it for years and years, and nobody's ever beat us on the job before, and they were doing it. They had the easy runs, and we had these hard runs over here. And something just wasn't right. And the next morning I went back, and I went to the guy, and I said, "Hey, how are you doing that?" And he said, "You want to learn?" I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Okay, I do it like this, and then I use this trick. And if you don't do this here, it's not going to work for you. This is crucial. You got to do this." And I took what he was saying. He said, "This is the best way to do it. You need to listen to me, because there's no..." He said, "I've done it all my life." And anyway, I went home and I started practicing. You know, I probably sped up 50%. What would have happened? What would have happened if I would have just gone home and we would have talked ourselves out of it, because we didn't want to give up our pride and say, "We're not the best after all." Folks, it's important for us to be able to admit when we're wrong. If we have an idea, you know, we can say, "I've got the Spirit of God. I was sanctified back in 1980 or whatever. You know what I'm saying. And the Lord teaching me in all truth." And the Lord said, folks, we can get wrong ideas sometimes. We really can. We can get wrong ideas. And it's, I believe that sometimes God sends us the truth by way of someone from whom we don't want to hear it. I'd like to go to Daniel, the 10th chapter. "In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine into my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled." Down in the 11th verse, so he got a vision, a visit from a heavenly messenger that said, "I've come to make you understand. And he said unto me, O Daniel," in the 11th verse, "a man greatly beloved." How'd you like to hear that from the Lord? I would. "Understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, "Fear not, Daniel, For from the first day that thou did set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. And then it goes on in the succeeding chapters that he explained to Daniel what was going to happen in the future, what was going to happen to Israel, what was going to happen to the world. Have you ever thought about why Daniel sought for that information? What caused him to seek that knowledge, and how did he know it was something he needed to know? Because he was a man that was in tune with God. He had knowledge about the cause of God. He wanted to be one of the Lord's servants to do whatever he could. He used interpretations of dreams that the Lord gave him to change the structure of Babylon. He used his knowledge and his wisdom about what was going to come to pass and about the kingdom of God and what God had in mind to be able to help the children of Israel, and we are still benefiting from the wisdom that Daniel had. Daniel appears to have been the prime minister of Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar, and he handled his affairs. He lived through Nebuchadnezzar, and through Nebuchadnezzar's son and Nebuchadnezzar's grandson Belshazzar, and then several kings after that. When the kingdom fell to Media and Persia, he was under Darius, and he had a position in the government there. Daniel was one who did not let the grass grow under his feet. He did things, and it said that he was mourning 3 full weeks. He fasted all for this bit of knowledge that the Lord gave him. It was important. It was important to him to be able to understand what the Lord was doing so that he could be effective as he could possibly be in the kingdom of God. And that is the way. If Daniel could do that, so can you and I. There's things that we need to understand. It says, there's a scripture, we won't turn to it, but it says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. There's another scripture, I believe it's in Psalms 48, that talks about, walk about Mount Zion. Know what her towers are. Consider her palaces. Walk around the walls. Do we understand? Do we understand tonight what the kingdom of God is? Do we understand the concept? Have we ever asked the Lord to give us a vision of what the church of God really is? Have we ever asked the Lord to help us to know what Babylon really is? Those things are great. And we need to have understanding, because a proper understanding of those things will help us to know what to do. It will help fuel our fervency. It will help keep us on the right path. It will help us in every aspect. Walk about Mount Zion. Understand her towers. Understand her walls and her palaces. There are things that those walls, towers, and palaces represent. Did you know that we are part of a heavenly city called Jerusalem? Did you know that we are part of the church of God? Everyone who has had their robes washed in the blood of the Lamb is a part of the church of God. So what does that mean? I'm not talking about everyone who says, I'm a member of Sepulpa, whatever we call this building here. I'm talking about a group of people all over the world who are filled with the Spirit of God, whose light shines through them, and who set their heart to understand and fulfill the mission of God and the cause that has been perpetuated ever since Jesus died. How are we going to do that? It's not my burden to explain what I understand tonight about the walls and the towers and the palaces. But did you know we can be, if we're outside the walls, we can be killed on the outside or we can die on the inside. The palaces, the walls are for protection. Do we understand what that means? The palaces are for rest, refreshment, and food. And the towers are for knowledge of what the enemy is trying to do and for protection. Understand, we need to understand the forces that are going on. We need to understand what the Bible is talking about when it talks about Babylon, the mother of harlots, and understand what happens whenever we try to yoke ourselves with it. It says that in the latter, we won't turn there for the sake of time, but it says that in the latter times there are going to be people that depart from the faith and they'll bring in, it says, doctrines of devils. There are many beliefs and many teachings that appear on the surface to be very good, reasonable, and right, and attractive, but there are things that the devil has concocted that are masterpieces of deception. And Babylon, one of the ways that we can detect what Babylon is in a teaching, in a doctrine, is how does it preserve spiritual life? I'm just skimming these. My burden is that we would set our heart to understand. 2 Timothy 2 and 15. I'll just go ahead and read it. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Did you know that the inability to rightly divide the word of truth is what gets us in trouble more than just about anything else? We need to seek the Lord and ask Him, help me to be able to rightly divide the word of truth, because I have been amazed at how many things in the Bible, how many doctrines of the Lord, how many teachings have very close counterfeits, and it's almost like that you can reason all the way from one side over to the other without a single break, and you think, well, where's the defining line? The word of God. Let me pick up a scripture in Hebrews 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is quick or alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner and of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You ever tried to cut up meat or vegetables or something and you didn't have a sharp knife? You know what happens when you do that? Or maybe it really doesn't matter how good it looks when you're doing it that way, but I have had to cut. You ever tried to cut wallpaper with a dull knife? I have. And what happens is that it'll be jagged and it starts tearing, and you bear down and you try to cut harder, and if you do that, then you might poke too far in the drywall, and then it bubbles out, and then you have an edge like this. But if you have a sharp knife, a really sharp knife, it'll cut through the things that are soft, and it'll also cut through the things that are tough. All in the same stroke, you can keep your pressure even. Folks, that's how the Word of God is. It's sharp, it's powerful, you can cut right to the dividing line. But how do we know? How do we know the voice of the Lord? You know, the Lord uses two witnesses, and it's called the Word and the Spirit. David said, let's talk about the Word a little bit. David said, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart, so that I might not sin against Thee." I would like to encourage all of us that one of the most valuable tools that we can have is to memorize the Scriptures and the Word of God. Hide those words in our heart, because those words, folks, the Lord uses two things to get to our hearts. And in any teaching that's right is always going to have those two things. That is the Word and the Spirit of God. I want... Lord, help me here. Seems like that there are things in the Bible that contradict each other. But there's not. There's a scripture that says you need not that any man teach you. Then there's other scriptures that talks about the elder teaching the younger and God's chosen the foolishness of preaching. Folks, when the Lord has used, and we need to understand this, that the Lord has, the method that the Lord uses is the Word and the Spirit together. And that's the voice of God. When you hear the Word and it's confirmed by the Spirit of God in your heart, that is when that you know it's the truth. The Lord uses people. The Lord uses many different ways for us. We can read the Bible. You know, I have heard that there are people that have said that it's senseless for it's not profitable to just read the Bible, because if you're not learned, you're not able to understand it. But did you know that the Lord can put in every one of us, and that's what His grand object was, to put His Spirit in us where we could know Him. And Lord willing, we'll talk about that more maybe tomorrow, but the Lord wants us to know Him by His Spirit. And whenever we hear the Word, whether it's preached or whether we're reading, that Word can be confirmed in our heart by the Spirit of God. One time I was in the mall, and some people wanted to come up to talk to me, and they wanted to talk to me about God, they said, and I said, okay. And so they started talking. They said, "You've heard of God the Father, but have you ever heard of God the Mother?" I said, "No, I haven't." And they said, "Well, I want to tell you about her." And they started talking about scriptures. It turned out that, and they had all these reasons that they produced. And I started talking to them. I said, "Well, what about this scripture here? And what about this scripture there?" Folks, these people were better in the scriptures than I was. They knew more than I did. Their reasoning powers were better than mine. But there was something about it that did not ring true to me. You know, the Lord doesn't... The object of learning all this stuff is not to where we can be the best debater in the world. Human reasoning by itself will never get to the truth. The Bible talks about people that learn and learn and learn and are never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You can find the most intelligent, intellectual, analytical people, the best debaters in every different religion and every belief under the sun. It's because that people, and I believe that God designed it this way, if you don't have the Spirit of God, it is possible to build a complete chain of human reasoning in which the smartest people cannot find any flaw and say, this is how we ought to live. But when we have the Spirit of God, when we have died out to ourselves, and we do that as much as we can, and then we seek for knowledge, folks, we don't have to win any debates. We don't have to necessarily produce the best arguments, but we do use our reasoning, but it needs to be sanctified. When we have, the Lord gave us our faculties. I'm not saying that we need to go and we need to say, I just want somebody that the Lord's given the spirit of understanding to show me how to believe, and I'm just going to follow it. That's not what I'm saying at all. The Lord gave us our power. We don't have to ever blindly follow what someone else says if it doesn't ring true or without question. But the Lord gave us our reasoning capabilities, and at the same time, if we sanctify that, He will use those capabilities to guide us to where the truth really is. Does that make sense? It says, we won't turn to it, but it says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So how can we find the truth? How do we know when something's the truth? We can't go on our feelings, folks. We can feel, but there is something that is, when the Word and the Spirit agree, that's where the truth is. And you know what the calling card is? The anointing. I would rather have someone expound the Word of God to me that has victory and power in their personal life than the smartest person in the world with all the different university credentials that he could ever possibly have. And all the he could be the best debater in the world. He could be have the highest IQ in the world. He could have all of that. But folks, if our reason, our intelligence is not sanctified, we are going to get in trouble. I would rather be taught by someone who has mastered their anger, who can rule their own spirit by the help of the Lord, who the Lord talks to. Scripture says His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. One more Scripture I'd like to get. 1 Thessalonians 5:20. In 21, it says, despise not prophesyings. And then it says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Folks, we don't have to go and just blindly follow anyone's interpretation. But the Lord gives us the right, and we're supposed to prove all things. Can't do it by our own human reasoning. But if we will present ourselves to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to follow You in every way, everything that You touch in my life, I'm going to give to You. Then, when we've done that, if we set our heart to understand, He wants us to understand. He's promised to make us understand. And so we will be able to try the spirits and see whether they are of God. We will be able to discern, is this thing going to... I had something a while back. He comes and does this in all different sorts of ways, folks. I had a while back, I made a decision to do something in our life. And it was something that... I decided I was going to... I'd been too strict on something, and I was going to open the door to this thing a little bit more, and I felt I reasoned that it was fine, and it hasn't been that long ago. Been within the last year, and so I did, and I wanted what was right. I really did. But I couldn't see any problem with it, and so we started doing something, and I had a dream. And in that dream, the Lord helped me to see so clearly the dangers and the pitfalls. Lord, help us to be able to understand those things that maybe through all our human reasoning makes perfect sense. The Lord can help us to have understanding with our families. He can help us to have understanding in tough spots with our neighbors and with how to work for Him and in business and with our children. Folks, it's important that the Lord gives us understanding every day how to put one foot in front of the other. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.